So we're recording. Thank you all for coming along on a Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. It's all really awesome to see you here. I just want to acknowledge the board that's here. So Glenn and Liz, thank you for being here, and Fiona, our secretary, for being here. Hi, Helen. Helen, I'm just trying to see, I can't quite see you. Yeah, it's okay. You can have your mic off, Helen, if you want, because this will be a very informal chat. So feel free to have it off. Oh, here comes Gary. Hi, Gary. All right, let's start. Garth, Angie, congratulations for the third time. Is it? It is third time, isn't it? Third time in a row. Well done. Awesome.
Not quite in a row.
Well, no, quite a bit in a row. In a row with a little... it's a kind of row, you know, like my gardening rows. But you guys are just so awesome with your PR. So I just wanted to start off by saying that, you know, you obviously really work it. Once you've won an award, you absolutely work it. Can you tell us how you use it later on? So it's all very busy at the moment, right, with radio shows and press releases. But what happens after the dust is settled? How do you use the award then?
One of the main things, we make sure that the website's updated pretty quickly with the logo that Fiona kindly supplied. So that's an ongoing reinforcement of it. So that's up live today. I think that it is building on those relationships with, you know, that you get the connections through the media coverage. So it certainly does, I think, increase our bookings.
Yes.
I think it's that reputational thing. I think people, I do sense lots of people are wanting to book direct now. We haven't had a single OTA booking since the domestic tourism was allowed to be restarted. And we kept pushing the book direct. And it's happening, which is wonderful, because that's, you know, commission back into, you know, small business. Like all of us. So the website presence of the association is really important with that one.
Yes, I mean, it's an interesting one, because obviously, you know, you have your win, and you're on a big high with that, which is great. And then it's honestly, it is too about working collaboratively with the organisations with whom we connect. And obviously, that starts with Bed and Breakfast Association New Zealand. And all of its membership, and then it goes further than that to TIA, who we're always most grateful for. You know, they've been absolute leaders in this crisis.
Absolutely.
Heads above everybody else, in my opinion, and the RTO, and I think the RTOs have a huge part to play. I mean, at the moment, we're really only a small player, you know, in the industry as an individual, and getting cut through as a small player is the big challenge. And so being able to work collaboratively, and so, you know, in our radio interview the other day, I sort of tried to make that point, you know, that we're part of a bigger group who are quality assessed, and Jesse actually threw a bit of a curveball.
Well,
I didn't know the questions.
We
didn't know the questions, right? And his Airbnb one was a bit of a curveball.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sort of talking to us, the association, about what makes the association, and bed and breakfast, quaint or something like that. So special, really. So special. And it's about the people.
And that came across too, because you said something about the experience, and I think that's something that we can always keep pushing with our B&Bs, because we all offer these most amazing experiences. You know, when if anybody else has got questions, because there's so few of us, you can just shout out, and I'm happy to listen to your question. If these direct bookings that you're getting, are you giving people a discount for booking direct, or are you just throwing it out there and just saying, please book direct? How are you getting these direct bookings?
So we all, in Taupo, because we do get year-round bookings, but not So summer's like Coromandel, like the Hawke's Bay is our biggest season. So that's when our rack rate applies and we don't discount. And we have always, every year that we've been operation, we have changed our mix through the shoulder winter, which is a slightly lower season, but still, you know, has generates some business. So we have not changed what our offer was, say, last year or the previous year, as far as our rate.
Yes.
So we're not discounting, but we are pushing our packages really heavily, and they can only be booked direct. So on NewZealand.com, we've got those deals up, and we're getting, like, probably half our bookings are packages at least.
We've always tailored our, I'll call it shoulder off season, for domestic, okay? And domestic is more price sensitive than international.
Yeah, it's just a given.
That's just a given. And we're not cheap in peak season. Our rack rate's $425 a night, you know? So in shoulder off season, we do one room at $295. And the other one at 315 or 325 or something. I can't even remember at the moment. But what we the interest that we're getting at the moment. So obviously we've got a shift from that international market to the domestic market. That's all we've got. But being mindful of not chasing business on price, because I think if you chase business on price in any business, you're doomed. Because there's always someone who will try to do it cheaper, and you get, you know, it's just a spiral to a big plug hole and a drain. And so we've been mindful of that, and we've just pitched, as Angie said, we've pitched our pricing exactly where we pitched it in previous years, and there's no resistance to that. And the general feedback we get about that pricing, this includes from New Zealanders, given what we offer, is that it's really good, okay? And but it's good value. It's good value. And as Angie said, can't stress it enough, packages, and value. You know, collaborate with other providers, work with them.
Yeah,
and that generally means, because our you know, none of our packages are for one night; they're all minimum two night. Yeah. Some of them are three night ones. So you know, we don't really want to encourage one night bookings with all these COVID cleaning. We were toying with the idea: are we brave enough to, you know, like we did last summer, we had a two night minimum for the whole of January, the first time we've ever done it.
Yeah, more than January, February, March.
Actually. Yeah, and I don't think we had any drop off in bookings, but it made it life much easier for us, because we, you know, quite often we do get one night bookings, and then everyone says, "Why didn't we stay longer? Taupo's such an amazing place." So, you know, we try to tell them that, but we've toyed with the idea for the next few months, but we haven't done it yet. We haven't launched onto that, but packages kind of do that in a nice, sorry, machine's just a little clink. The packages direct them that way anyway. You know, they see value and they stay a little longer and they hopefully get a bit of experience. You know?
One of the things that is coming across when you're talking to me, and it actually was my next question, is that you do a lot of testing and reviewing and a lot of measuring. So, you know, this whole thing, well, you changed your January to two nights and that hasn't seen any drop off. Overall, how do you do your testing and reviewing all the time like that? Are you tracking everything that comes in, or how do you do that? Because it really stood out in your award entry.
It's funny, you know, and that before you even go chasing an award, and Fiona asked us this year whether we were going in it about, I don't know, was it a couple of weeks prior, Fiona? you know, because we were a bit uncertain, we were flat out, to be honest. And it's a huge job preparing an award document. It's huge. But the discipline of doing it makes you ask questions of your business. You might not even necessarily know what those questions are before you start the process. But once you get into the process, it starts to big questions. So, I mean, I'll give you an example, and you've seen the document, obviously, Donna. So, channel management.
Hi.
And obviously, channel management.
No, I just earlier on, Stevie said we want to meet him and Irene for lunch.
Pat, put yourself on mute.
Yeah, we had a meeting at 1 o'clock. So,
I'll put Pat on mute. Sorry.
Okay. I'm on my home now.
Okay. Oh, yeah, go. Carry on, Garth. Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right. Channel management. So, we've sort of made deliberate strategy about channel management. Okay, so when we started our business, we were sort of at a stage where the industry was going direct and OTA, and there was a general feeling that high street wholesale retail inbound operator was potentially going to die. And we thought that, and so we thought, yay, OTA, direct, great, lower commissions, blah, blah, blah. And then we could see, we started to get inquiries from agents. Our RTO started to, as our reputation built, we started to get our RTO pushing agents our way, okay? So then we started getting agent bookings, and we noticed some real advantages in that. And so we
more than compensated for that difference in commission, which
correct. So if you fast forward a few years, what we saw with those advantages far outweighed higher commission, but we wanted to measure that. We wanted to understand what returns we get per room night, say, through different channels, okay? So obviously our direct percentage, I think when we started, we were something like, we were over 50% direct or 60% direct.
Still top to that, because at first you're probably more reliant on OTAs.
And OTA with the balance. And then OTA started to grab more. OTAs are really hard to deal with. They change their rules unilaterally, and they're powerful, and I think they're...
And it's not always a good fit, is it? Sometimes, it's hard to communicate our offering to the customer because they want to keep their barrier up. Anyway,
this year's channel manager, this year's evaluation of that sort of showed up. So I think our directs dropped to something like 32 or 33% by room night. But by value, it's 42%. That's interesting, you know. Our high street agents, they've increased to more than our direct now, and I can't remember the exact figure. And their yield is a little bit below our direct, but still much higher than OTA, who don't add value and don't qualify client, or don't qualify packages, our guests, you know, and they don't do packages. So that's just one example of the sort of evaluation the approach that we take to the business.
And I suppose the award thing, it's a discipline to make you think of doing those things, whereas we might have done it in a slightly more ad hoc way, maybe, you know, on the fly a bit more, like we had this feeling, so we might do a little bit of a checkout. But because of the awards, it's such a good thing. It's just like it's like we've just done the COF on one of the two work vehicles today for adventure shuttles, and it's like a certificate of fitness for your business, isn't it? Because you've and I suppose the last couple of months, that was probably a good time, and maybe if it's still a little quiet through winter, just, you know, because we do have to kind of reimagine things a little bit. Like, we might have to think about, well, 425 is a rack rate, and summer's probably not going to, you know, wash. So, you know, what can we do? Where should we position it? What can we, you know, I mean, obviously value adds have become even more important. So, yeah.
It is interesting listening to you talk about the packages. How many packages have you got, and how do you actually come up with your package ideas? Because that often, when I'm doing things with other B&Bs, that often stumps them. Or what sort of package can I possibly come up with, Donna? So how did you figure out that?
It started because when we first decided to buy this building and land, which was across the road from the Great Lake Trail at Kaupo Bay, where it finishes. So that's one of New Zealand's 22 great rides. If you haven't done it, it's fabulous. So that made us realise we had this opportunity across the road for anyone who loved mountain biking. This was going to be on their bucket list. So that's led to Adventure Shuttles being established at the same time as the lodge. So that's our little shuttle business. Mm. And it was really probably they were the first things, weren't we?
You know, we've only got two suites, okay? So when we started, we thought, okay, we're going to need, we can't be cheap to make a living from two suites, and we need to add as much value as possible. And they couldn't possibly keep us busy enough. Like, we're still full time, okay? They couldn't possibly keep us busy enough. So we set up our other business, Adventure Shuttles, which is a very small business. It's the cherry on the top of the cake, you know? And yeah. And as Angie said, it just made sense to
package up, yeah.
To have an integrated model there, you know, and package those two things up. So we have the lodge with all, everything it can offer. So Adventure Shuttle's doing bike shuttling, concession with Department of Conservation, bike hire. And so we just, all of those things started it.
So they started it, and then like all of the places in New Zealand, we just looked at, okay, Taupo's got the most amazing fishing. So we did a lake fishing package with one of our wonderful, Nick Reed, who has this beautiful boat, Bravado 3. So we do, you know, a fishing package, and the guests go out for 4 hours with Nick, and quite often one of us will host it, and they have lunch on board, which we provide, and drink, and Garth, you know, drives their own back. So, you know, just it's mainly linked around either an activity that's in our area that we can package up like that. Yeah. Or the one that has probably has been one of the most successful was this indulgence package. Mm. So that's people who want to get away, be pampered. Someone else is cooking them great meals. They're having massages on the suite, and they're having Wairakei Terrace's hot pool. And so that one is probably our biggest.
Yeah, we with that one, we've had people fly in here into here directly into the lodge from Auckland in a chopper, landed on the lawn and never leave. and they'll do dinner, massages, the works, you know, park the chopper on the lawn, tie the planes down, and then when it's time to go, they'll hop back in the chopper and fly back, which is pretty cool.
That's very cool. That is very, very cool. One of the things you seem to be super duper good at is this finding these influencers and getting into loads of different publications. So those of us here that don't really have any idea how to start that, how do you find these people? How do you find these influencers? How do you find these publications? And what do you do for them?
So the RTOs are a good place to start, because they have the media contacts, and they certainly probably know. If we get approached by an influencer, which we did a lot for a while, not quite so much now, which is probably good, but if you get approached by an influencer, I would actually talk to your RTO about them, do a bit of research on them, because there's an awful lot of them that basically you just end up providing them a free night or something, and you're not going to get much back for it. And I think the age of the influencer has waned a little. Yeah. You know, I think funnily enough, maybe with the COVID-19 thing, I think maybe it's shifted back to mainstream media, and that, you know, that people are looking for as a genuine, you know, assessment of somewhere that might be great to go and stay. So the influencer one is an interesting one. Where we've really, I mean, we were very lucky that we got a couple of influencers in their early days who were great for us. And I think that was partly luck. the RTOs are good, because they quite often know who are the good people to talk, you know, if they've, you know, heard of them, they have a good influence or whatever. In the media, you know, we've been asked to host media for the RTOs, and that's phenomenally important and useful as a business, because we got the Radio New Zealand interview from a wonderful woman who we met by hosting her for Destination Great Lake Taupo a year and a half ago. Mm. And now we're planning bike rides together. She has all these contacts, so she's like wanting to give us some support. So she, you know, knows the producer at Radio New Zealand. So she's like tapping us, oh, you should do this, a good news story in the middle of all this bad stuff, you know. You should talk to Garth and Angie. And so it's like, it's the relationship thing about, you know, just, you know, that relationship with the RTO firstly, because they do have the media relationships. And then when you do get some good ones, yourself fostering that relationship with them. Yeah.
I think engagement's the word.
No, you're right.
If I mean, everyone running these businesses We're all people, you know?
Yeah.
And we've all got the skills at the end of the day to do it. It's what we do every day. And so when the opportunities come along, grab them and get a bit creative about perhaps how to make some opportunities come your way, you know? And it could be about just making an approach with something a bit special, and you never know what might come of it. Yeah, I mean, we had a great example here in Taupo with Jollies. They came up with the site. They put a little package together. It was a big package actually, with some businesses in town, and it got a bit of promotion in the Main Street Mirror. And they said, we're going to give an award to the most deserving essential worker.
Oh, yes,
you know, and I don't know how they decided who it was. But
no, it was just drawn out of a hat.
It was drawn out of a hat.
People nominated.
People went into a hat, you know, but the mainstream media picked it up. It ended up in Herald and stuff. And, you know, it was just a creative idea. And before you know it, THHA actually, got on the bandwagon, and we said, well, we'll accommodate some sort of extra people who you might be able to pull out of the hat. Yeah, so it was just it was just creative. It was a creative idea.
One of the things when you're giving away things, freebies, if you like, I do like to try and remind people not to give them your cheapest thing. Promote it for what it is. Give them your very best package, or give them your very best room, or give them their very best experience. Don't think that because they're getting it for free, then you're just going to try and shortcut it somewhere. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
John Corbett. You know, we quoted John. John's a well-regarded journalist, and he wrote in, what was
Escape.
He wrote Escape, which was published national dailies in Australia. We had people who were arriving, how did you hear about us? And they went Escape Magazine, Melbourne, and it was Escape in WA, and you know, and he's a Kiwi, I'll add that, okay, so NZME, Channel 9, you know, so it went through all of those.
Big foodie guy.
Yeah, and he popped in, and he was by himself, and we gave him the full Monty, you know, the full hosted dinner and lavished it. And he loved it.
And by the way, should I give this little tip about
Yeah. So
don't do it for nothing for the RTOs, okay?
Yes.
Because, you know, we give them a really good discount, like a good discount, better than anyone else would get. Don't do it for nothing, because that's a room night or a couple of room nights you can't sell to anyone else, and you're going to give, you know, huge, you know, like you say, you're going to put on dinner. So that, just my little advice is, I think sometimes people think if the RTO asks you to do these things that you should maybe do it for nothing, but I just think that they have a budget for hosting their media.
And
if it was the Hilton or something, I'm sure the Hilton's going to be charging them, even if it's a 40% or 50% off in a media rate. But we don't do them for nothing.
Oh, yeah. So sometimes we'll do the room for nothing, but we'll charge for the dinners, say, because there's real cost and real time and that. Yeah. And it depends on a whole heap of things, you know. But you've got to make a value judgment on that.
One of the things, and I'll sort of round it off, so if anybody's thinking of questions, now's the time to write them down so you can remember to ask. But one of the things that over this very turbulent time that has stood out to me is that you have no outstanding debt. And that's going to be a little bit odd for a few people that, you know, have been using agents and find themselves in this situation. But do you mind talking us through that, about your thought processes around it and how you actually managed to do that?
So Garth and I came from two industries that are renowned for bad debtors.
Yeah.
Construction for Garth, printing for me. So we were not going to put our home, which it is, and our small business on the line some bugger in a limited liability company who was just going to tell us, oh, I'm really sorry, you know, we're not going to pay you. So we decided that absolutely nobody, no exceptions, we required payment 7 days prior to guest check-in from our agents. For our direct guests and booking.com, it's just a normal process where basically you get a credit card so you can charge it if they cancel early. And so we have one exception. Top of district council gets the 20th of the month, but we figure they're a government department, we're pretty safe there. If we get someone placed here by the RTO. We had some agents approach us, quite a number, and they would say, these are our terms, you know, 20th of the month following the guest.
30-page document. One of them's got a 30-page.
World, I do remember a few times have approached us. So every time they approach us, we go, look, we'd love to work with you, but here's our terms of, business, terms of trade, sorry. And we, you know, if you are agreeable to those, always 7 days prior to guest arrival. And interestingly, I mean, there's a few of the big ones, I think, that maybe didn't, you know, Hello World, we didn't really get any bookings for. But we, all of our big agents that have been fabulous for us, you know, out of Europe, out of America, have been, without exception, more than happy. Big French agents, they know that. Maybe some people who gave them the 20th month following got more bookings than we did, but we were quite happy with our balance, so it wasn't a negative. But what obviously the last few months have shown is just how, you know, they just have you over a barrel if they, you know, we had a couple of instances from one agent that placed a few French guests with us that we had to leverage. We had to basically say, look, I'm sorry, you haven't paid yet. The guests are due here in 3 days' time. And we'd say really politely, we really require payment. And if you haven't paid by the time the guest gets here, we will have to ask the guest for a credit card. You know, and meaning that if you just still don't pay, we are going to charge the guests for them. And obviously, because we have leverage at that stage, because the guest hasn't got here and I don't want to have the guest. So it was only one agent for a short period of time. They're obviously having some cash flow issues and we got paid and they continued to place bookings with us. So
it's an interesting one, you know. All of these agencies are on, and so most of them are integrated. Okay, they're integrated business model, and so because they're integrated, you know that they've been paid, and it's just the way the industry works. It's all on payments. It's a positive cash flow industry. Yeah. So if someone is in a situation where they can't pay prior, it suggests a problem. It's a red flag, and I think you know, a sale's not a sale until you've been paid for it. It's the oldest rule in sales 101. You know, a sale's not a sale till you've been paid for it. And we, as Angie said, we just didn't think that it was our, we were in a position to take that risk on. You know, it was just, and I suppose we're a little bit lucky because some of it's about timing. We came to the industry at a time when probably the power had shifted to some extent from agent to direct.
Accommodation, yeah.
And who knows where it's going to be down the track. We don't know. You know, it's, we just have to see what happens.
So the only ones that we didn't get payment for are obviously ones that were inside our 30-day cancellation period but had not got to the 7-day prior. Yeah. So, you know, we've had to just, write off some cancellation charges we would have normally, you know, we should have been paid for because they're inside a cancellation and it wasn't force majeure. The guests were in the country. But we, you know, they were minimum scheme things and we hadn't already had to host the guests and everyone had finally had to get locked down. So, we've lived with that. But we certainly, I feel so badly for those folk in the association who have done hard work. They've looked after guests amazingly and then, you know, they're not getting paid, which is just, it's not acceptable.
No. I'd like to open up the floor now. Does anybody else have, this is a prime opportunity, does anybody else have any questions that they'd like to ask Garth and Angie?
Well, I'll start. Here in Hawke's Bay, to get the relationship with your RTO that you're talking about, we have to pay extra. Is there any extra commitment from you guys, for you guys to be this sort of thing with your RTO?
It's a good question, Raymer. So we are part of the RTO program, okay? And that's part of our marketing plan. Having said that, I think the RTO decided very early on that they wanted to work with us. When we started, we joined Explore Program through Tourism New Zealand, okay, which we paid for, and then we made the call in our own interest to go into the local RTO marketing program. We dropped Explore. We were in Explore, I think, for 2 years. Mm. And the RTO ones, actually, the RTO one gives us a preferential place on their website. It's not about...
It's a featured listing.
Yeah, featured listing. It's not about...
You pay a little bit more than... That's the same with us.
Yeah, that would probably be the only paid advertising, or one of the few paid advertising, and apart from, say, maybe
social media.
Facebook, social media ones, but that featured listing, because I suppose the reason we did it there, number one, it supports the RTO, and I think we get back in kind a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, number one, we're supporting their efforts by, and they allow you to pay quarterly and things, that's not too bad. And it keeps that relationship, maybe us being considered for when they have a media.
I'll stress though, Raymond, I don't think their support of us by way of, say, those families, part of that FAML program, I don't think that's contingent on us buying that advertising. I just think it's just about the bigger relationship,
The problem, the problem here is that the little ones... I think we're only one of the international group, and the group, the FAML groups that are coming through, especially the media, are too big to come to us. And I'm just kind of like, is that going to carry on for us? But of course, going to domestic, we might have to keep it. And also, they've been very nice. We've got nearly a whole year of free this year, so they've just obviously haven't got as much money for advertising, but they've keep people on. They've dropped their fees, but I just wondered. Okay, thanks.
Is there anybody else that has a question? Sorry. Oh, I thought I heard somebody's voice then. Busy looking for the thing. Probably overall, then I'd like just to round up and say. Congratulations again. And for these people here that haven't entered awards, what have you got to say to them that they haven't entered our business awards before?
Get into it.
Yep, do it. Please do it.
It'll make you, it just introduces some discipline that you may already have the disciplines in your business, I don't know. But for us, it certainly makes... It certainly makes us think more about our business, and it's a lot of work, and sometimes getting that award entry deadline, nailed has been, a challenge. But it's worthwhile to do it. It's definitely worthwhile to think about your business. It's the old working on your business. We work in our businesses every day. Doing accounts and talking to your accountant and that sort of stuff can be a little bit of a mix between working on and working in. But doing an award entry is definitely working on your business. It's just one of the rare times when you'll sort of get out of it and be looking down and trying to take that big picture view of what's going on. Mm.
Thank you both so much for being so candid and sharing so many different secrets. But it's a great team effort, and you sharing your knowledge will help the wider team of our B&B Association too. So I want to thank you both so, so much for doing that, and congratulations once again.
Thanks, Donna.
Everybody going forward.
Yeah.
Thank you. And next Friday we will hear from Brooke and Tim from Relax at Red Earth. They're our rising star. winners. So yes, if you can come along to that at 11 a.m. That's 11 a.m. next Friday. We would love to see you all there. So if there's no other questions, any other burning questions from anybody? Right. Well, then I'll say goodbye. Ka kite ano.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Garth and Andy. Lovely.
Bye-bye. So, Elizabeth.